I went back to New York the same way I had left it, but in reverse. Cab to the Greensboro Depot, bus to D.C., and then the train. The trip took all day and some of the evening. The bus schedule and the train schedule were not well integrated, and the first two trains from D.C. were sold out. I spent the travel time thinking, firstly about what Sansom had said and what he hadn't. Nothing in this life is entirely black and white, but no crimes were committed, and no one could get to the truth through an HRC clerk anyway. No denial of questionable activity. Almost the opposite, practically a confession. But he felt he hadn't strayed outside the envelope. No crimes. And he had absolute confidence that the details were locked away forever. Altogether a common position among sharp and ex-military. Questionable was a big word for all of us. 12 letters and a textbook's worth of implications. Certainly my own career would not withstand extended scrutiny. I don't lose sleep over it. But in general, I'm happy that the details stay locked away. And so was Sansom, clearly. I know my details, but what were his? Something damaging to him, obviously, either personally or to his election bid, or both, inevitably. The feds had made that perfectly clear. Sansom can't afford to tell you anything. But damaging in a wider context, too. Or why else would the feds be involved in the first place? And who the hell was Lila Hoth? I asked myself these questions all the way through the jolting bus ride, and all the way through the long layover at Union Station, and then I gave them up when the train I made rolled north through Baltimore. I had gotten nowhere with them, and by then I was thinking about something else anyway. I was thinking about where exactly in New York City Susan Mark had been headed. She had driven in from the south and had planned to ditch her car and arrive at her destination by subway. Tactically smart, and no other choice, probably. She wouldn't have worn her winter coat in the car. Too hot. She probably had it on the back seat, or more likely in the trunk, with the bag and the gun, where the gun would be safe from prying eyes. Therefore, she chose to park and get out and get herself battle-ready at a distance and in relative privacy. But not at too much of a distance, not too far from her ultimate destination, because she had been delayed. She was seriously late. Therefore, if she was headed way uptown, she would have parked in Midtown. But she had parked downtown, in Soho. Probably joined the train at Spring Street one stop before I had. She was still sitting tight past 33rd Street. Then things had unraveled. If they hadn't, I figured she would have stayed on the train through Grand Central and gotten out at 51st Street. Maybe 59th, but no farther, surely. 68th was a stop too far, well into the Upper East Side, a whole new neighborhood. If she was headed all the way up there, she would have used the Lincoln Tunnel, not the Holland, and she would have driven farther north before she parked, because time was tight for her. So the 59th Street station was her upper limit. But having gotten wherever she was going, I felt she would have aimed to double back, even if just a little. Amateur psychology. Approach from the south, overshoot, come back from the north, and hope her opponents were facing the wrong way. So I drew a box in my head. 42nd Street to 59th and 5th Avenue to 3rd, 68 square blocks, containing what? About 8 million different things. I stopped counting them well before we hit Philadelphia. By then, I was distracted by the girl across the aisle. She was in her middle 20s and completely spectacular. Maybe a model. Maybe an actress. Maybe just a great-looking lawyer or lobbyist. A total babe, as a USC jock might say. Which got me thinking about Peter Molina again, and the apparent contradiction in someone expert enough to use him for leverage against a source that was worthless. Our principal brought a whole crew. New York City has 6 main public transportation gateways. The Newark, LaGuardia, and JFK airports, plus Penn Station and Grand Central Terminal, plus the Port Authority bus depot. Newark has 3 terminals, LaGuardia has 3, plus the shuttle terminal, JFK has 8, Penn Station is big, Grand Central is huge, and the Port Authority is a warren. Total manpower required to make a sensible attempt at surveillance would run close to 40 people, 80 or more to allow for round-the-clock coverage. And 80 people was an army, not a crew. So I got off the train with no more than normal caution, which, fortunately, was enough. Chapter 27. I saw the watcher immediately. He was leaning on a pillar in the center of the Penn Station concourse, inert, with the kind of complete physical immobility that comes from being settled in for a long period of duty. He was stock still, and the world was moving busily past him, like a river flows around a rock. He had a clamshell phone in his hand, open, held low down against his thigh. He was a tall guy, but reedy, young, maybe 30. At first sight, not impressive. He had pale skin with a shaved head and a dusting of ginger stubble. Not a great look. Scarier than an autograph hunter, maybe, but not by much. He was dressed in a shirt with a floral pattern, and over it was a short, tight leather jacket that was probably brown, but which looked lurid orange under the lights. He was staring at the oncoming crowd with eyes that had long ago grown tired, and then bored. The concourse was full of people. I moved with the flow, slowly, hemmed in. I was carried along on the current. The watcher was about 30 feet away, ahead and on my left. His eyes were not moving. He was letting people walk through a fixed field of vision. I was about 10 feet away from it. It was going to be like stepping through a metal detector hoop at the airport. I slowed a little, and someone bumped into my back. I turned briefly to check that they weren't tag-teaming me. They weren't. The person behind me was a woman with a stroller the size of an SUV, with 2 babies in it. Maybe twins. There are a lot of twins in New York City. Plenty of older mothers, therefore plenty of laboratory fertilization. The twins in the stroller behind me were both crying, maybe because it was late and they were tired, or maybe they were just confused and bewildered by the forest of legs all around them. Their noise blended with the general hubbub. The concourse was tiled and full of echoes.